I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
It's Metal Shop here on The Rock doing a stay-at-home interview with Death Cave. This has been something that's been brewing for a little while. We were originally going to talk to Death Cave ahead of Northwest Terror Fest. Well, that's it's kind of a different situation these days, but Northwest Terror Fest 2021 is going to happen. But Death Cave is now on the phone via Zoom with me. We've got Benny, we got Freiberger, and we got Tony. How are you guys doing?
Been all right.
Great, man.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. I guess let's go around. Let's start with Freiberger. Where are you guys located in Seattle right now? Where are we? Because I'm in Inner Bay. Where are you, Freiberger?
I'm in like Dexter Avenue, so kind of like East Queen Anne-ish.
Okay.
South Lake Union-ish.
And Benny and Tony, how about you guys?
I'm up at my house up in Northgate. Just living the dream, enjoying this outside weather.
And I'm on Capitol Hill.
Okay, right on. Well, you guys, I mean, how can we really introduce this? It's a weird, crazy time for bands, for musicians. How are you guys doing as far as like your own mental health and your happiness? And how are you staying safe, first off, and how are you staying sane?
I ask myself that every day. You know? Sometimes I don't know. You know, I think everybody has, you know, their good days and their bad days, and I think it's okay to have either one. So it's just kind of living day by day, you know, trying to stay distracted.
Yeah.
But if one day you can't, then so it is, you know?
Absolutely. Freiberger, how about you, man?
Yeah, I was just going to say, man, that sums it up, man. You got to kind of just take this one day at a time, you know? You know, I manage a busy bar in Seattle as well as a musician, and it's like to have everything that keeps me sane because I'm not good at sitting still. You know, I'm like hyper ADD, and I can't really like, don't know how to like just like sit there and like watch TV like normal people can to relax. But it's like having all that taken away was quite a blow at first, you know? And then, I mean, it's like, again, just you got to take it day by day. It really is waves of terrible, then things are okay, and you think you got to hold a bit. And then, you know, other days you find yourself like crying for no reason. And, you know, it's like, again, you just got to take it one day at a time. And luckily, we have things like Zoom chat and stuff. So I've been having conversations with lots of friends, you know, not just in Seattle, but like kind of all over the place, which has been pretty awesome, you know, to keep up with friends that normally wouldn't have, you know. But yeah, that's kind of it, man. Just trying my best to stay sane, you know. Benny, how about you?
There's not much to add. I mean, it's really kind of the same for everyone. I'm still working, but again, it's just one day at a time
to
get through it. I practice as much as I can, but it's not as fun when I'm not playing with the rest of the band. But, you know, just getting through it.
Yeah. Well, Benny, so you mentioned that you're still working. What's like your day job? Or do you work at like a, do you do food service or do you work at like a grocery store?
I'm in the cannabis industry.
Ah, yes, an essential business.
The essential worker.
Absolutely. And I see that Freiburg is actually partaking in a bit of that essential business as well right now. So,
yeah, you know,
essential for sanity, you know.
Okay, well,
definitely not secret.
So you guys, obviously, so we talk a little bit about music and how that keeps you guys sane, and how, you know, it's a bit of a bummer that you can't, you know, share that together. But as far as like a personal album, so like, let's think, there's a lot of negativity and a lot of negative news that we could be consuming every day. And if you're having a day where you're getting too much negativity, you need something to center yourself, you need something to help you out, what's an album that you can go to and will always like help you out, maybe center you again, give you some energy, give you some good vibes?
Man, I'll just start right here. I have one right behind me, but Midian's Age Eternal. This album has been really, really important for a long time for me. And it, for those of you who don't know, Midian, they had a cease and desist over the name and ended up changing their name back to Yob, which most people kind of know them as, but they, for a short while, were Midian with a little bit of a different lineup change. And they put out this album, Age Eternal, which is absolutely fantastic, especially the song on it, Age Eternal. It's like 12 or 13 minutes long, and it's really, really sad and beautiful and powerful. Yeah. It kind of tackles all those emotions that I like, I guess, in like kind of like a feel-good album. Takes a lot of sadness in it, I guess, for me. But yeah, I don't know. They're trying to put it on a spot, so I just grabbed one that was near and dear to me, and keep those records close to the turntable. You
know? I wonder who sent them that cease and desist. Was it Cradle of Filth with the album Midian?
No, I think it was a band or a group. I'm not exactly sure. I can't remember the details on it. It's been a long time since I thought about that, but I think it might have been a group, or I don't even think they're that big or still a thing anymore, but you know how it works with those things. Mm-hmm. If you have the trademark or first, the copyright, that's pretty much it. You know what I mean? It's like you can't argue how popular or more anything as long as you have the paperwork, you know? It's just like one of those really crappy situations for when a band is already established with a name or whatever, you know?
That's why you always see bands
like the Northwest, you know, we had Owen Hart who tragically went through the same thing. You know?
Yeah.
Like that's the one that we can all relate to because it was a local band here who had to change their name to Earth Control after, you know?
Yeah. What about you, Tony? How about you, man? What's an album that can give you kind of like that life force to get back into a good mindset?
I'm kind of similar to what Freiberger said. I think mine's maybe a little bit more intense, where in order for me to get focused or centered, I actually tend to listen to like pretty sad, depressing music.
Sure.
In a way, like after like hear it from another band that to let me know that I'm okay. So I listen to a lot of like 40 Watt Sun.
Oh yeah.
And, even like some mellower stuff like Song So High. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of like my two bands that I just kind of have on rotate pretty constantly, pretty frequently, just to kind of like make me feel calm and cool and chill about anything going on.
Okay, awesome, man. So a little bit, maybe kind of escape inward a little bit, be a little bit more thoughtful with some of that negative, like maybe not negative, but more sad bastard music, you know?
Yeah, I mean, basically, yeah. It keeps me pretty sane listening to other people, other people's sadness through music in a way, you know.
I guess it kind of shows you that it's something everyone else is feeling too. So, but you know what? I'm not your therapist, so I'm not going to try and interpret your feelings. So, how about you, Benny? What's an album for you, man?
See, I'm the odd one out where I can't say a specific album, but I've been going really hard with like Baptist lately.
Cool.
And Trap Death.
Yeah.
I've been really into like just the really fast, like in your face lately.
Cool.
And so yeah, I mean I'm just a little different.
Yeah.
I'm not really I don't listen to depressing music that often anymore. So
Fair enough, man. Well, we're here to talk a little bit about Death Cave because you guys are going to be releasing pretty soon. I believe it's out in the you guys are having it pressed right now. Kind of a weird time to be putting out a record, but hey, man, the world has to continue on. Metal has to be produced, and you know what? It's a good time for people to stay inside and listen to records. Smoking Mountain is the name of the new Death Cave record. Let's talk a little bit about it. So, how long did you guys work on the record? Who'd you record it with? And, tell me a little bit about the album. Obviously, we can't play anything from it, but if you could give me a little peek behind the curtains.
Yeah. Go for it, Frank.
Well, the album was recorded by Ben Brelin, who's another kind of Northwest well-known figure. He has his amp company here in Seattle, Brelin Amplifiers.
From Helmsley.
As well as Helmsley, which is his band that he plays guitar and sings in, and then he also plays drums in another band called Constant Lovers. And then, I mean, he'll show up and guest spot with certain bands. I know sometimes with Jay Jails in town, he'll hop on another guitar or other bands. I mean, he's always usually doing something awesome and creative, but Ben is the one who recorded us, and we went up to Anacortes, Washington, and recorded at the Unknown, which is a old church.
Yeah, tell me a bit about that, because that I heard the vibe is like wonderful there, and I hear it just is such a cool treat to be able to record that. What was your experience like?
It definitely has vibe, that's for sure.
It's hard to imagine trying to record an album elsewhere after recording there, you know, especially if you like the heavier and bigger sounds. Like, it's a big room, so you're able to get those, like, more Zeppelin-style drum tones, and, like, it's just really awesome space. The price you can't beat, you know, it's like, and it's quiet. There's nothing. The entire town shuts down at, like, 8 or 9 o'clock, so it's like, when you're there to record an album, you're there to record an album. That's like it, you know. It's like it was a really cool experience to kind of get in that mindset while recording.
And we basically like isolated ourselves for a whole week to record it.
Cool.
We stayed the night there at the for, and it was what, 5 days, I think, a Monday through Friday. So we're there.
Yeah.
Stayed there, woke up there. Recorded there, so it was kind of a awesome experience to do that, to isolate ourselves, get together, and just kind of knock it out and be with each other 24/7 a week.
That's awesome. So working with Ben, was he someone who like gave any input on stuff, or was he like, hey, I trust you guys and work with how hands on was he?
He produced it.
Yeah, he's been a producer credit, and we had asked him, you know, it's like we had one song written that we were kind of playing live, but everything else we stopped playing and we wrote just for this album.
Yeah.
So these were all like pretty new songs that came together. So we had asked Ben to add his input, and there's a few different changes on our songs because of his input, and I mean, it was all fantastic ideas, you know. He's got a very awesome way of thinking about music, which is why we wanted him to kind of chime in on certain parts if there was something that maybe he would do differently or whatever.
Awesome, man. And I've seen you guys live, and you guys certainly have like a rock and roll death metal like thrash vibe with like, I don't know, it's kind of a positive for me that I can't put you guys in like one genre, which is cool. Is that something that you guys purposely like want to kind of defy all like subgenres of metal?
I think it's a little hard to be able to play every single thing that we enjoy or like and blend it in together, but we definitely try to.
Then you'd be between the buried and me.
But we definitely try to incorporate some of our, you know, favorite genres or styles as well as we can to make them blend together.
Yeah.
I think we do a pretty okay job doing that, at least enough towards we enjoy it, we think it's fun, you know, we like to play it, so we kind of just roll with that.
Sweet.
Yeah, we Yeah, I feel like the song structures are, it's kind of fun. We as we've been a band a little longer, we're starting to figure it out. You know, we have a really, really heavy, aggressive parts, but a lot of times we end up going to, you know, space and chill out and, like, hang out and slow jam for a minute, and then we'll come back to aggression. And then, I like elements of, like, hardcore, death metal, doom for sure, like, psych rock.
Yeah, then we'll have
It's a weird melting pot for sure of stuff, but more and more we write songs, more and more they kind of like have our own feel to it, you know? It's fun.
What? How did you guys all meet? You know, you guys have been together for a few years now. What's the kind of Death Cave origin story? Whoever you know wants to take the lead on this one, feel free.
Benny, you've known Freiberger for a while, right?
We've known each other through just like shows in passing, but it wasn't really until I was asked to be in this band that we really became close.
Gotcha.
So it was just
again, just like an ally in metal, you know, like someone who's been awesome. You know, it's like the scene. We support each other. You know, it's like you're not a piece of, you know, a garbage person. You know, it's like. and you're an avid part of the scene, even if I don't exactly like the music, you know, I'll support you. But Benny's been creating heavy jams for a while. Now, me and Tony moved here almost 2 years ago, and it was at a Quicksand show that, like, the day he got here, I was hanging out with Wes from Eris, which ended up being his roommate.
Cool.
But so I met him there, Tony, and then it was just like instantly hit it off. You know, it's just like, bah, 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 like back and forth. Like, what do you do? Oh, cool. Like, oh, you play. Like, you know, it's just like one of those times where, you know, you just like meet someone and you're just like, oh, you're the coolest, you know?
It's yeah.
Like, I want to hang out with you more. But ended up like, he was going to be in the band I was in at the time because a member was going to move away. And then I ended up leaving that band, and we ended up starting a band kind of based on the ideas that we had put forth that we, you know, I was like, you know, do you name a couple bands like High on Fire and Neurosis, kind of like take some ideas of that, but kind of make it our own thing. And if we worked with a different drummer who didn't work out. And then I ended up hitting up Benny. And asked him to be in the band, and that was a little over a year ago, and it's been awesome, you know, ever since he came in, it just, like, clicked, you know, it was just, like, here it is, like, songwriting, everything, it just kind of, like, came together, and, you know, I was really able to fuel the engine to really try to do as much as we can, you know, it's like, we haven't been a band for that long, and I feel like we've done a lot, because we've had the energy and the force, you know, behind us.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right on, guys. Well, I'm talking with Death Cave right now. And so real quick, I'm going to go into one of the songs from their demo EP. It's called The Ritual. And we'll be back with more from Death Cave.
Let's go.
It's Metal Shop here, and we're talking with Death Cave. We've got Freiberger, Benny, and Tony, not on the phone, on the Zoom. I can see their wonderful faces. This is pretty cool. It's, have you guys done any of these, have you done any, like, band meetings via the Zoom app, or have you guys, like, had, like, a happy hour, like, smoke session or something?
We got together, last week over Zoom, chatted a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just had the one interview we did last week with the photographer John Malley here
yep.
in town.
Shout out, John. Awesome, dude.
One other meeting where we kind of got together and made sure that we all knew how to work the Zoom app.
Oh, nice.
It was all pretty new to us.
Yeah.
And kind of just said hi to each other and talked about a few things, you know, while putting out this record. There's a ton of stuff that, you know, it takes to put that out. So just like making sure we're all on the same page, seeing as how we can't all exactly be in the same room while mm-hmm. we go over all this stuff, you know? But again, it's a lot easier because working with these guys is awesome because for the most part, we all kind of think alike. So it like makes it a little easier than having to butt heads a bunch, you know?
Yeah.
I was going to say, Freiberger and I usually hit up ourselves on FaceTime and we play dice over FaceTime.
Oh, nice.
We do play a lot of dice.
Yeah. Virtual dice.
That's funny. So the album is going to be called Smoking Mountain, and it's going to be self-released. You guys, so tell me a little bit about the plan. You guys going to be putting it out on tape, CD, vinyl? How physically will the album be presented? And do you guys have like a release date or any ideas about that?
Yeah, we're in the process right now, actually, throughout this week, mm-hmm. about getting it pressed, and we just got the master recordings
Ooh, cool.
back. So we're literally in the process as we speak to send it off to get it pressed on vinyl, get a
handy
piece of that.
It's going to be put on vinyl, and then we're going to do digital release as well. We'll put out some two singles as we tease this album coming yeah. out on Spotify and Bandcamp. We're going to do everything we can to make sure that as many people can hear this album. You know, we're incredibly proud of the music we made, and we're excited for people to hear this project, you know?
All right, Benny, let's start with you. Since we can't hear the album right now and we have to just talk about it, I want you to give me one word to describe the album.
Massive.
All right. Tony, how about you?
One word. It's just pretty powerful, I guess.
Okay.
And heavy. When I think that, yeah, powerful.
Massive, powerful, and heavy. I like that, dude.
Yeah.
I was thinking like maybe sexy, maybe sexy, or you know.
That goes live performance.
Yes, live performance. Nice. Well, right on. Well, I'm looking forward to the record, you know, and we'll be talking more about it as it comes out. But I wanted to ask you guys, and this is something that I like to ask everyone that I speak with, and even if it's embarrassing, especially if it's embarrassing, I want you to tell me the truth. What is the first CD, tape, vinyl, whatever, first piece of music that you purchased on your own with your own money?
Keith Sweat for me, CD.
Yeah.
Naked Sweat. Absolutely first on my purchase.
Nice.
Yeah, love it. Still to Keep Sweat all the time.
Benny, Freiberger, what about you guys?
Ooh.
Well, I know my first album was Buddy Holly, but I don't think that I want it. I don't think I bought it. You know, I was definitely like 4 or 5 years old, but I was so obsessed with Buddy Holly. Man, the best.
I'm going to have to go with Shout at the Devil, Motley Crue.
Wow, okay. Hell yeah.
Cool guy.
Right? That's awesome. So put some Buddy Holly, some Keith Sweat, and some Motley Crue together. You got Death Cave.
Yeah, perfect.
Sense. Okay.
Which of those three do you think Death Cave would do the best cover of?
Oh, snap. Actually, you know, a Buddy Holly cover would be pretty awesome.
Hell yeah.
I would say. Yeah.
It'd be pretty
I'm
dope.
I'm going to have to agree.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
we could, like,
I agree.
Or pick it our own or whatever. Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Nice. All right. Well, we're coming up with ideas already. So, okay. what's okay? So, Freiberger, we see that you have a super metal setup. I mean, if you can't see us right now, obviously, which you can't if you're listening to it. He's got swords. He's got Iron Maiden action figures. He's got his records. He's got probably skulls or something. Like, he is a very metal room. Freiberger, guys. And I want, oh, there you go. There's the skull. Each of you guys, what is the least metal album in your collection?
Man, I got a lot of not really metal albums in my collection.
Like the antithesis of metal.
Carter 3, Lil Wayne.
There you go. Hey. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I do have a 2 Chainz Trap, which I love.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty non-metal. I mean, I think it's pretty metal, but in a non-metal way.
Right. It's pretty gangster.
How about the Highwaymen? I feel like Johnny Cash and Waylon Jennings.
Yeah.
And Chris Christopherson.
Yep. Outlaw Country. Nice.
And what's his name?
Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson.
I like how you just mimed smoking a joint. That's awesome.
And all three of us guessed it right away.
Exactly.
I was just drawing them blank.
That's awesome. Right on, guys. Well, now, since you guys are a Seattle band, and Tony, you said that you moved here. Well, first off, Tony, where'd you move from?
I moved here about 2.5 years ago from Monterey, California.
Okay.
Right kind of by Cruise area.
Nice.
Yeah, I was playing in a band down there for a couple of years, and just kind of decided to make the trek up here after. I've been touring up here for years.
Yeah.
And I just always knew I wanted to move here one day, and decided to come up one day.
What band were you playing in down there?
I was in a band called Worship.
And, oh, yeah.
They're still playing, and they actually just released a new single for their new album that sounds really good. I definitely recommend checking them out.
Cool.
Super crushing single. Sounds great.
Very good.
Nice, right on. Well, so you guys are now, you know, Tony, you're here in the Seattle area. You guys are all Northwesterners. What are a few of your favorite Northwest bands of all time? Metal or not, doesn't matter, all across.
I mean, I was always huge into Botch, since mm-hmm. I could remember.
Yeah, same.
I think that's kind of like a universal thing for anybody.
Yeah. Botch for sure. Melvins.
Yeah.
Like probably number one for me.
Throne of Bone.
Legend. Teen Cthulhu.
Throne of Bone. Throne of Bone.
You can't list your own bands as influential.
No, I'm just saying Throne of Bone is mine.
Oh, all right, nice.
No. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's Doomsday 1999,
nice.
Wormwood.
The Helm, for me, I've always been a huge fan of The Helm. Awesome, awesome people, great friends, great music.
Heck yeah, speaking of Throne of Bone, The Helm and Throne of Bone share the same drummer. Jeffrey.
Hey, Freiberger.
What a hammer bringer.
Can you see this?
Oh, is that it? Nice.
Oh, nice.
Doomsday 1999.
That is super sick.
It's in a DVD case.
I have that on wax. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird that it's in a DVD case, but Brandon Baker gave that to me, so.
I have a couple cassette tapes in a DVD case.
Nice.
Feel like there was a time when that was a DIY way of
right?
it, you know? Be easy to make an insert on
DVD case.
Paper and shove it in a DVD case.
Right.
Boom.
Right on, guys. Yeah. Keep going. Keep going. Keep the list coming.
Oh, man. I think there's a lot of awesome bands out right now.
Yeah. Shout them out.
Maybe not necessarily best of all time, but like I love listening to Wild Powers.
Yeah. Great band.
I love Helmsley. I mean, there's so many awesome, like, still around right now playing, or new bands that are coming out.
Eris, Old Iron, Year of the Cobra.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's some great, great bands right now. Known Liar. The Northwest has always been a pretty magical place for heavy music. I mean, between Seattle and Portland right now, it's a pretty insane list of bands coming out of these two areas, you know?
So, you guys have all been, you know, involved various, bands and music and behind the scenes and everything for quite a while now. You know, you're not new to this or anything, and you've been around the block with things. What keeps you guys personally, interested, involved, and what kind of feet stokes that fire for you? Basically, we ain't getting rich on this. What keeps you interested?
I'm a lifer. It's the only thing I'm good at.
Nice.
I think it's something we touched up on earlier too, about how not playing right now and being isolated and the whole quarantine thing, how it really take a toll on you know, on your everyday life.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those things that's like, I can't not play music. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just whether I'm motivated or inspired or not, it's just always going to be a part of my life. What I, you know, want to do as much as I can. So.
And you fry burger.
Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely it. It's like, and you know, I didn't get into this for fame and money, you know, it was like, you know, for punk kids renting out a little dog mushers hall in Alaska. Like, we did that because it was a way for us to express ourselves. You know, mm-hmm. We were all different, you know, we felt it, you know, and the only real way we knew how to get it out was through music, and that never really has changed. You know, you'll still see me front and center at most shows, like headbanging hard, because I feel it. You know, I'm passionate about music. You know, it's like not just like what I'm doing, but everything. You know, the community, the support. You know, it's like that's my life. That's my being. That's my everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like without that, it's very, very hard. This, you know, it's like, especially with the community aspect of it, you know, it's like, it's all I've ever done and known. So it's like really hard to take that element out of the equation, you know?
Freiberger, you mentioned, you know, renting a little hall in Alaska and stuff. And I do have to ask you about something. You posted photos, some throwback photos, and I want you to tell me the story about this like bright green suit that you were wearing or something.
I'd love to.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Okay, so you were wearing this, like, really, it looked almost like a Talking Heads music video from, like, it was a really odd, but, like, kind of, it looked like a ska. Were you in, like, a ska band or something?
No, so I was constantly, like, you know, especially if you could see those weird, like, pink dreadlocks I had in just the front of my head and stuff. You know, it was like, I knew I was a weird kid.
Yeah.
And I was fat and, you know, unattractive. And like, so it's just like embracing my weird side, or the pushing against the grain of what's normal was,
yeah,
like, to me, like what I did. So, you know, I was like, you know, what's the way you're going to stand out the most? It's like, how about a lime green I think that'll be the trick.
That's amazing.
You know, kid, you know, like, I was so insecure. I was like the loudest person about like the thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like that counterbalance of like, you know, just like,
dude,
I was the loudest. You know, I was the, you know, the most insecure kid there was.
I get it, man. I had bright pink Liberty spikes and like bondage pants too, man. And how much would it take for you to bust that out and wear it for a Death Cave record release show?
I mean, if I had that and it was a all local fun show with a bunch of buddies, I would do that for fun. You know what I mean? It's like, especially if it was the same one, because I was like 150 pounds heavier in high school than I am now, you know? So it's like, it would look funny, you know?
That's
and
amazing.
Not to mention, that thing was gross. Like, I wore that and like, you know, it's just like, I like, that was my, like, I'm a crazy kid, like, outfit. So, like, I didn't wash it, you know? If I could magically find it from wherever it ended up being, you know, it's like, I would wear it, you know, it'd be funny, you know?
I love that you posted that picture too. It's like, screw it, man. I got some goofy photos too. I got to post some pictures of myself.
Dude, you gotta be able to laugh at yourself, you know?
Exactly.
Especially when we were all kids, you know, it's like, we were all kids trying as hard as we could to not look like posers. And
We were all posers.
You know, we were all posers trying to look like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Very fair. Very fair.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, absolutely, man. There's some photos that... there's only a couple photos that I think, you know, I'll never post. So we got Death Cave. They're going to be putting out Smoking Mountain. Obviously, there's no time frame of, like, you know, who knows what's even going to happen, you know, tomorrow or whatever. Everything's, you know, kind of a question and up in the air. But what are you guys' some of your goals after the release of the album, imagining that, like, you'll actually be able to play shows again?
Yeah, we had a tour planned out to support the album.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously for, you know, safety and not knowing what's going to happen, we decided to postpone it a little bit. So it is kind of scary putting out an album and not really going out to support it. But, you know, we'll find out when we get there.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming once everything kind of gets back to normal and safe, definitely just hitting the road the way we were planning on.
Good.
Yeah, so we had a full U.S. tour planned for this. So it's just like, yeah, the idea of trying to, like, go where state to state is different and where it's so many much unknown, trying to, like, secure the last bands because we only had, like, 20 or something shows out of the, you know, 36 book. It was kind of like, what's the point of even trying to, like, finish this, like, with so much uncertainty out there? We'd rather wait. And then... So I think the idea is we're going to wait until there's a good idea, and then maybe we'll do a West Coast tour, and then we'll do something bigger down the line. But, we're potentially going to do another split with a friend's band down the line. So it's like we have things in mind that we're planning, you know, but like everyone else, we're just taking this one day at a time because it's too hard to try to get an idea of the future when the future is so unclear.
Yeah. You know? Well, once you put the record out, I'll be stoked to listen and check it out. How can people support you guys in the meantime, and how can people keep updated with everything that Death Cave has coming forward?
So as we said earlier, our first album, which was recorded by Tad Doyle, who's a Northwest legend here, that we put out on cassette. And that is available on our Bandcamp. As well as some, we have shirts up there on Bandcamp, but you can also find it on Spotify. And I mean, the best way to stay up to date is through like Instagram or Facebook, you know? But we have like all the means, YouTube, everything. We try to cover every base we can on social media, try to expand our audience as much as we can.
Who's going to make the MySpace?
I can do that.
Okay, cool.
It would take too long to choose our top eight. I mean, I don't know.
That's true.
Oh my god. Okay, so last question I have for you guys. And again, the new album's going to be coming out shortly. They've just gotten the masters back, so they're going to be checking out. And once they get it, to me, I'm going to play a little bit of it, and I'll hopefully get some to you. So that's that. But last question, guys. If you were transported into WWE or UFC and had to choose a theme song to come to the ring to, what would it be? Freiberger, you start.
Oh, man. How about Funeropolis by Electric
Wizard? Nice. All right. That's good. And it'd be like a smoky haze in the entryway.
Oh, well, if you know I was going to be a pro wrestler, which I still kind of want to be, I would have definitely a super lot of smoke and doom and gloom coming out with me.
Brother. And how about you, Tony?
I think I would take the opposite approach and get a glitter and glam and go with Prince, probably with Little Red Corvette.
Nice.
Ooh.
Yeah, just kind of hype everybody up and start a dance party before I get in the ring, you know?
I love it.
Yeah.
And Benny, how about you, bro?
Ooh, I don't know. That's a hard one. I don't know. I'd probably just tough guy it and come out to like some Bury Your Dead or something.
There you go. Bury Your Dead.
Some Hatebreed. Yeah.
I came out to Hatebreed when I was a backyard wrestler in Kent. So
nice. Ooh.
That's trashy.
Nice. First you were a backyard wrestler.
And that's when I had the pink Liberty spikes. And Jenko shorts.
Yeah.
Did you go full thumbtacks? Were you a savage or what?
Well, no, but we did almost paralyze my friend when we ran his neck over with a shopping cart.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
awesome.
He couldn't move for a few minutes.
The story you would have had if he did.
I know, right? That's so extreme! ECW! Anyways, guys. So, Death Cave, any final words before we jump into the last, another song here, Monolith?
Thanks for having us. We are still planning on a release date for our new album to be around mid-August.
Awesome.
Oh, that's still in the works, and yeah, it's going to be everywhere: Spotify, iTunes, Facebook, Bandcamp.
Right on, guys. Well, again, Death Cave. We're going to go into Monolith. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us, Kevin. You rule, Kevin rules. Yes.
Thank you.
own Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.